sharing for a few minutes with you guys. Are you all listening? Because I really want you to listen. I know that God's heart and desire for each one of us is to experience freedom in every area of our life. And that is spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, materially, financially, every area. Right? So, which one of you, which one of us could put a hand up and say, yeah, I'm experiencing freedom in every one of those areas you just mentioned? Okay? Because the salvation that we received on the cross was not half measured. Was that we may be set free, because whoever the Son sets free, how free is he? Indeed. What does that mean? Truly, really, really set free. And I was sitting, whatever I was doing, and Tony talked about the offerings. And he talked about three offerings, one for Africa, one for whatever this box is, and one for Barry. Yes, feels like so many offerings. Man, that's just too much offerings. Anybody feel it was too much offerings? Of course, you can preserve your spiritual integrity and not answer. I'm fine with that. And it just stirred up something in my heart. Because any one of us that have been to church long enough, watched Christian television long enough, you know the feeling about money and giving and the talk and the speeches and... Anybody had any of that stuff? And at the very most, it's just downright manipulative that he just shut our hearts and spirits to giving. See, the thing about the devil, just about everything he does is 90% right. And because it's 90% right, only 10% off, that's what makes it deceptive. Because if it was 100% wrong, then it wouldn't be any deception there, would they be? Over the years, as a church, we've had a lot of teaching and preaching and talking about giving and all that. And a lot of it was 90% correct. And because it was 90% correct, we received it as God's word. And when we did not see the result, because it was 90% correct and 10% that matters wrong, hence we didn't see the result of our giving, of our sacrifice and all that, we became despondent, disillusioned, disappointed, and we gave it up on the whole thing altogether. We may not have given it up entirely in action, but in spirit and attitude, we did. So when we give it up in spirit, but still do it in action, it becomes like what Janine was saying last night, that when she tells a kid to turn on the dishwasher and they do the sweeping, well, they did something, but that's not exactly what they were told. And that is the part James describes us. When you pray, you do not receive because you pray amiss. That's the 10%. I'm saying this because it is really important. You can choose to open your eyes and your heart, good for you, or you can close your eyes and heart, do it at your peril. In other words, I'm a messenger that I've brought the message. What you do with it, I don't really care. That's very loving and kind, isn't it? And I have to tell you this now. Is Bill being naughty?
There's a flogging
coming. Well, on your money back, I did hear somebody say that they went to church and they passed the bucket and the dad put in $2 in the offering, and then later on started complaining that choir was, the music was terrible. And then the kid says, "Dad, for a $2 show, that was good." So, next time you complain about anything, think about that. Anyway. Let's not lose the heart of what I really want to say is I really sense and feel God really wants to bring freedom to us as individuals. But the key thing, as you've been hearing and learning, is the grace of God is released in areas we learn to walk in love. Okay? The grace of God is released in areas where we learn to walk in love. Because love does one thing, it casts out fear. Okay? So one of the biggest areas we struggle as Christians is in our, it starts with F. Finances. We can use them M1, money. Because in money and finances is one of the areas the church has not learned to walk in love. Our decisions based on money or about money are based on fear. You have a savings account because you are scared for the rainy day. So it's a noble idea, but motivated by a wrong purpose and reason. You have a job because you are scared of lack and need. It's a noble thing to have, but your motivation for having a job is based on fear. And hence, we never see the grace of God released in our finances because most of the time, the motivations we have are based on fear and not love. I have a business because I'm afraid of lack and need. So most of our monetary and financial decisions revolve around fear. Fear of lack, fear of need, fear of being without, fear of want, and fear of failure, and fear of everything else. Does that quickly give you an idea why there's so much financial struggle in the kingdom? Because it's an area not submitted to love. And for those of us that are a little bit over that hedge to an extent, we use an Old Testament paradigm in giving. There's incredible teachings. Like, a tenth of your things belong to who? To God. That's wonderful. But let's say if even we use that as a platform, how many of us really live out that 10% of what you have belongs to God? Because if I give 10% of what I earned to God, I'm not going to make the phone bill. What's that motivation? Fear. And the biggest debate is, when should I give? Okay, this is not a message, so you give. Because I really don't care whether you did or you did not. Okay? I'm saying this to bring insight so you can come to a place of freedom. Okay? So God said, every firstborn that opens the womb, that would be you, Aria, belongs to the Lord. Okay? So over here, next to each other, in the kingdom economy, there's a double portion. She belongs to the Lord, she belongs to the Lord. Okay? Whoa, it's getting better. Okay? And that was adequate, and it was enough, and God only wanted 10%. But that's not the New Testament model. In the New Testament, God doesn't want 10% of you. He wants 100% of all of you. So it changes your attitude that God just doesn't make the decision on 10% of your income. He actually makes a decision of 100% of your income. Okay, so if tithing is in the Old Testament, then you are in a big shock in the New Testament. The Old Testament, he only wanted 10. In the New Testament, he wants 100. He wants all of you. What does that mean is, the grace of God is not exercised on 10% of you, but the grace of God is exercised on the 100% of you. It's actually a better preposition. Would you want God to move 10% in your life, or would you like God to move 100% in your life? You see, and that does something that is very contrary to the Western way of thinking. I remember the first day I sent my kids in this country to kindy. We had to write their names on their shoes. We still have to do because, look, they're on the floor already. Okay, so we had to write their names on their shoes. We wrote their names on the drink bottle. We wrote the names on the hat. We wrote the names on the jumper. We wrote the names on the pencil case, we wrote the names on the school bag, and we wrote the names on the lunchbox. And it has raised us up in an atmosphere of valuing ownership. It's mine. And that is in direct conflict with the call that you and I have received. Because God says the heavens and earth are mine. So now you and God are having a tussle about who owns that lunchbox. Just because it's got your name on it. So the better part here, what God is calling us is not to a place of ownership, but to a place of stewardship. Okay? He owns everything that I am. And by His grace, He's made me steward. Which means all that I am, all that I have, and all that I will ever have, my call is to be a better manager on behalf of the one that owns that. And should He require of me to give 10%, it's not mine to give. I'll let it go without any pinch in my heart. Should He require me to give this property away, I'll not even blink once. Because I know it was never mine to start with. I do not own anything. I came to this country 12 years ago or 13 years ago. And when I came to this country 13 years ago, 15 years ago, it's an auction. 12, 13, 14, 15. Can I have 16 over there? 16. Can I hear 20? Okay. The point is when I came to this country, all that we had fitted in two suitcases. Okay? All that we had was in two suitcases. And both of us did not have a bank account. So it would be very arrogant for me to think, whichever many years later, that I own stuff. Wouldn't be. And that's one thing that I've learned is, if there is anything I've strived to be in my heart, is to be a better steward. Because everything belongs to God. And when I begin to realize that I belong to God, it helps me overcome the fear of lack. Because if I die of hunger, whose fault is it? God. And even this one that's saying is true. We've come to a place where they need things. And I just say, kid, you and I have got the same source. You can tell me or you can tell him. Okay, here's a verse for you. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10 and 11. Are you ready? I'm not preaching a sermon. I'm laying a foundation for your financial deliverance. Okay? Since God has been getting rid of other things, might as well get over every wheat. Okay? It says, it's important. Listen. Okay? Now, he who supplies seed to the sower. Okay? What is the number one thing that God supplies? Seed. And what is the number one thing you and I are always praying about? Provision. So from the very first beginning, you and God are on different planets. Because you are more concerned about your needs, God is more concerned about seed. The good news is, he supplies the seed. Meaning, you and I don't have to conjure up the seed. Okay? Now, he who supplies the seed to the sower, and it gets better, and bread for food. Okay, so that means in the supply that God brings to your life, it comes in two forms. The first form of supply that God brings to you is seed. The second form of supply that God brings to you is food. Okay? I've been saying this for many years, but hope somebody gets it. Seed and food are not the same. Benji, seed is not food. Nicholas, seed is not food. Okay. Everybody, say it with me. Seed is not food. Okay, once again. Seed is not food. One more time. Seed is not food. Okay, what that means is, seed is not for eating. Okay? Now, I want somebody really intelligent to tell me, what is seed for? Yeah, I'll check planting, sowing. Any of those, okay? Seed is for sowing. It's for planting. But God is very nice and graceful. Besides seed for planting, he gives you bread for food. But what causes us to eat seed? It's fear. Man. This fear thing, he's robbed and robbed and robbed and robbed and stolen and taken. And this is why God wants us to experience his perfect love, which casts out all fear. I was afraid that if I put the seed in the ground, it wasn't going to rain. And it was going to die anyway, so I might as well eat it and live for a day and die later. What incredible logic. Okay? So I'll take it from the top. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, oh, wonderful. He will also supply and increase your store of seed. He's funny, God. He's not promising to increase the store of food. And what have we learned? That he will put more food in your granary. That's a lie. He said he will put more seed in your granary. He will put more seed in your seed store. So you can have even more seed. It's become quite interesting that a lot of secular startups, they're calling startup money seed money. Did you know that? The world are calling the startup money seed money. The world understands that. But the church still thinks seed is food. They have some roasted, some of it barbecued, some of it boiled, some of it stir-fried, some of it marinated. And they come up with all sorts of creative way of eating seed. Ah, okay. He will supply and increase your store for seed and enlarge your harvest of righteousness. Okay, I want you to understand the core motivation for God in all this. What is the core motivation for God in all this? So you will be made rich. Okay? But God is not interested in riches for you so you can be rich. God's motivation is so you'll be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. Okay? So, and when you are generous in every occasion, through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What is God's end goal when he's thinking about blessing you? So you can be prosperous, to be generous, to give to the poor, so the poor can say to God, thank you, God. So God is more focused about his name, not your bank account, not your bottom line. I don't know which bottom. Okay? In other ways, when we come to a divine alignment in our values with the value system of heaven, God moves and brings a blessing. But in our finances, in our quest for money, we never come to a place of engaging, to a place of alignment with the heavenly value system, because our fear propels us to strive and to struggle and to keep and to hold and to keep, so we cannot be without. Let's stand for a second. Barry and Janine, you can just come up because you take it up from here. Thanks, Jackie. Put that for me there. You see, for years, we've been praying against the spirit of poverty. Well, the spirit of poverty have got nothing to do with your poverty. Hey, the spirit of poverty has got nothing to do with your property, my poverty. It is my inability to align my value system with the heavenly value system that prevents me from stepping into a place of blessing. It is my fear that causes me to stir-fry the seed that prevents me from having a harvest. It is my arrogance of thinking I own what I have and merely, other than just merely being a steward that has been entrusted by God to manage and steward what He's given us to look after. So, wherever there's freedom and deliverance, most of the time it begins with what? Repentance. So the key one is, question number one, are you a steward or are you the owner? You've got your name on your lunchbox. Can you imagine if that little boy, when Jesus fed the 5,000, said, Jesus, you can't take my fish. This is my fish. If that little kid held out on that little fish he had, everybody would have starved. But when we get what we have and turn it on to God, He manifests the greatness of His great wonders. See, it's never been about how much we give. It comes down to our value systems. So, when I learned that, I've never even bothered with the tithe thing. I just say, God, all I am is mine. Oh. God, all I have is mine, and what is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. All that I am is yours. So in my family, we don't tithe. We just give it all. And we are learning to do what the Macedonian church did when Paul went to them. They gave beyond what they could. Now, that's what I'm growing up to. Giving beyond what I can. Which means, God, I've given you 100%, but take 200% anyway. Okay, so what's the first thing we're looking at is, are you a steward? How good a steward have you been with managing whatever it is that God has entrusted to you? And if your answer is, probably my stewardship has room to improve, it's not to make us feel bad or condemned. Just say, God, actually, I see I'm in error on that. I just want to come in agreement with you. Forgive me. It's that easy. Freedom is actually a lot more easier than enslavement. How much of your life is God entitled to? Is that the way we've been raised? God is only entitled to my 10%. He's not going to curse you if that's the thing is. He loves you anyway. But the thing, it is up to us how much release we want to experience in our lives. And hear my heart here. I'm not advocating for people to be bringing their 100% in the offering basket. Okay? Stewardship is not a deal between you and the pastor. Stewardship is a deal between you and God. Give it to Heidi Becker for all I care. The thing is, we are stepping up and walking up in that place where our hearts are divinely connected with the heavenly purposes. Okay? So I just want you to hear me right here. I'm not soliciting for funding for here. What I want is to see us to come to a place of freedom. And like I said, stewardship is between you and God. And the thing about the steward, you are responsible to God how you disperse the resources that God has given you in whichever way you feel He leads you. Whether it is in Cambodia or wherever. But what I want to see is to have you come to a place of freedom. So probably one of the biggest things that we've been taught that a lot of us are hung up about, you were taught if you give your 10% to the Lord, He will give you back good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over tenfold, hundredfold. And then you didn't see the hundredfold, so you became disappointed. See, God has really promised. But how God does it is entirely up to Him. But we were taught to look specifically for a hundredfold cash in our pockets when we gave, so when it didn't come, we became disappointed. You see, God is divine, and money is the last thing on His agenda. What He wants is us to come in a place of favor. You may wonder, you may not have received 100% return in money, but your shoes last 100 times longer than everybody else in your family. Your car runs a few hundred thousand kilometers longer than everybody else. And you only have one sausage to eat between all of you, but amazingly, it satisfies everybody. So how God displays grace and favor in your life cannot be limited to money or finances. Does that make sense? So I think that is probably the biggest deception that has made a lot of us be despondent with the giving stuff. So when we yield ourselves to God, we'll come to a place of favor that will bring freedom and favor in all sorts of ways. See, the most amazing thing is I've been here, I think we are up to 17 years in this country. You know, the most incredible thing is in the 17 years I've been in this country, I've never been to see a doctor. So I may not have received a hundredfold money back, but I received some measure of health. So God is God. So it is about giving God enough latitude where He can do whatever He wants to do and show you favor in your life in whichever way He does. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is not give and you're going to see more money in your pocket. That's a lie. That's not what He promised. However, He did promise you favor. And favor is in all shapes and form and all color and sizes. Okay. So let's just repent where we haven't been good stewards. Say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And where we've made our decisions based on fear and not His love. God, I'm sorry. I have a job because I'm scared. See, God wants you to have a job. But the primary reason God wants you to have a job is so you can be an ambassador of His grace in that job. The paycheck is only an incentive for you being there, not the primary reason why you should be there. So how often do we get the paycheck at work and never talk to people we work with? We've missed the point. Okay? So why has God given you a job? So you can be the apostle in your office. So you can be the apostle in your business. So you can be the apostle in your workplace, not so you can get an income. Because your sustenance comes from who? God. And this is what he was telling to the Israelites, that when you've gone up to the land that I'm giving you, the land that I promised your forefathers, and you grow fat and nice and plump, don't you say to yourselves, my wisdom and my mighty gave me the wealth. Remember, it is the Lord that gives you power to achieve wealth. So when you get that nice little cushy job, you should not say to yourself, my hard work and my job has provided for me. That's the whole point. It is not your job that provided for you. It is the Lord your God who provided for you. However, your paycheck is an incentive so you can be in your workplace and be the apostle there and be the pastor there. We don't want this thing where people say, I want to be in full-time ministry. No. Get out of here. Go in full-time ministry. Do some work somewhere else. And be a witness somewhere else. See, we're getting to a place where those of you that are school teachers will receive the same credentials and ordination as those that are pastors in the church, because your call before God is one and the same. Those of you that are running businesses, you receive the same credentials and ordinations as those apostles that are running church, because the mandate and the calling is one and the same. Because wherever you are mandated to bring the kingdom. But fear makes us think we are there to get the paycheck so we can live without. Can we repent of that? Because God wants to bring freedom in our resources and finances. Let's sing back that song you're going to sing, Jackie, and let's just respond to God in whichever fashion, form, or shape that you feel God is nudging and prompting you. Okay? God has not ordained workers, he's only called ministers. We still have another sermon to go. But I had to tell you this while it's still burning, because I won't be here next weekend. We'll be in Byron Bay at the newest tribe thingy that we'll be sharing there. So, while it's still hot, you can have it. Father, we just want to raise our hearts before you. And Lord, we just want to repent in areas where our value systems have not reflected your heart. Father, we want to repent in areas we've walked in fear and not in freedom. Father, where we've gotten jobs because we're afraid of lack, where we've been holding because we're afraid to live without, other than resting in the security of your perfect love, we just ask for your forgiveness. I ask that you forgive your sons and daughters. You forgive me. And Lord, I ask that you release an incredible measure and level of your peace and your love and your grace upon every other person here, every person that we may come in a perfect place where we can experience your love that drives away all fear. That we may walk in the absolute security of knowing that you love us and you care for us. Yeah. Father, cast out fear in the name of Jesus. Cast out fear in the name of Jesus. Cast out the fear of want. Cast out the fear of need. Cast out the fear of lack in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask, as your children come into a place of divine alignment with your value systems, you release the heavenly blessing upon them. You release the favor and the grace of heaven upon their families, upon their children, upon their businesses, upon their work, upon their studies, upon everything that they do. And Lord, we just want to release your church that there will be ministers and not workers in the name of Jesus. That we will work for love and we will receive the paycheck as an incentive of our love. That what we do for you will not be motivated by monetary gain, because we know that you are our gain and you are our reward in the name of Jesus. Yeah.
You are worthy of it all.